Today, I want us to look at a story of Joseph. I want to pull back from all the COVID and the stay at home, the economics, the politics that are going on in our world. And I want to give us a glimpse of God's story as he's working in the life of young Joseph. You may remember the story of this young man who had a fabulous dream. His brothers take advantage of it. They throw him into a pit. They then sell him off and tell his father that he has been killed. He is involved in re-identifying his life as he's sold off into slavery there in Egypt. And Joseph finds a unique way of life. And the story of Joseph is unique, not because of the ending, but what happens throughout the story. And we know the ending as the brothers come and they find relief in that moment of famine. As God was able to deliver Joseph through some dreams and interpretations, he rises to second in command with Pharaoh. As we see Joseph living in this challenging life, rising to second in command, we miss something that is peppered throughout the story, that is significant for our life right now. I want us to learn to trust God in the tough times. Today, I want to ask you, if you've got your Bibles, to look at this story, to read back over Genesis chapter 37, 39 through 50. I want you to pay attention to what God is doing and what God says about Joseph, what Joseph says about God. And in this story, I want you to find hope for this situation right now. Trusting God is a blessing. And you're going to see some great things. As Paul Harvey, who used to have that radio show, he would tell these fabulous stories about individuals in which we knew they were famous. We knew that they had come to a place of prominence and position. But he would backtrack. He would share some of the backstory of how they got there. And as he would finish, he said, "And now you know the rest of the story." Today, I want us to look at the rest of the story of Joseph as we think about our life connected with him. As we think about our life responding to this good and gracious God, he has provided for us. Maybe he has not answered all of our prayers in the ways that we are specifically asking, but God is at work within our life. Joseph, in this story, is sold off into slavery. And as he starts to work for a man named Potiphar, we hear a unique phrase. In Genesis chapter 39, it says that the Lord was with Joseph. This is the first time that we are given a reference to God being a part of his life, though the interpretation of the dream, the beginning of that, would indicate that God was a part of Joseph's life even when he was at home. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. And when the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. God was at work in Joseph's life, and God was blessing and making himself known, blessing Joseph and making himself known even to Potiphar, this Egyptian, who doesn't know God. I want us to back up and think about this for just a moment. A young man who is sold off into slavery, he is pushed out of his family, he is left and abandoned, he is in a situation that is significantly filled with great trial and drama and conflict. I want to ask you, when you find yourself in situations that are conflicting, when they are difficult, when they are filled with drama, what do you do? Scripture doesn't tell us exactly what the road looked like from being sold off to getting to Potiphar's house, what Joseph was thinking or feeling or saying or doing, but we can understand that his faith in God Almighty never diminished. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18, we see something that is modeled in the New Testament that I am sure, I'm 100% positive, that was modeled in the life of Joseph. As we'll see a little bit more about the details of his life. Listen to what Paul writes, and he gives them an instruction that I think is similar to what Joseph probably was doing as he was being sold off, as he was being abandoned. Listen, it says, "Now, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Give thanks to God in all circumstances. That is a challenge for us in this moment. May 2020, it is a challenge for us to rejoice, to give thanks, and to pray continually. But there is power in prayer. I want us to practice that power. I want us to engage in prayer on a regular basis. Jesus says, it's told of Jesus, while he was in this moment of challenge, he got up early and he went away and he prayed. We see Jesus going even into the night and praying. I want us to be men and women who are putting into practice this power of prayer. It is our avenue. It is our connection. It is our blessing to speak and to be heard by our Father. I want to challenge you this week. I want to invite you this week to ask me about my prayer life. I want you to open the door so that I can talk to you about your prayer life. I want us to give our worries and concerns to God. I want you to think about young Joseph as he's traveling into this bondage. What would his prayer be like? As he is living in this world that is just turned upside down, his prayer would be, God, return me back to my family. God, redeem me back to my home. God, let me have restoration from my brothers who have put this mistreatment upon me. God, bless me. We find sometimes in the depths of our sorrows, in the difficult moments, it is difficult to turn our attention to God, but it's important. I remember one time I was sitting with a young man, a friend, who had been very successful in his business. We had gone out to lunch several times. In fact, he asked me if he could share some of his business and life, and so that I could counsel and encourage and pray for him in his work so that he would be a godly individual at home and at work and elsewhere. This individual then later shared with me that it was a day like no other. He was feeling like things were going well, things were going great, and he found himself in the midst of a near-death car accident. He now looks at that car accident as the best day of his life. As he was in the hospital, injuries from the car accident, the doctors were able to diagnose him with a severe cancer that probably would have been undiagnosed and probably would have been deadly had he waited just a few more weeks. In the midst of that time in the hospital, as he's dealing with cancer now and finding the recovery and the treatment that he needs for that situation, as he's pondering now life and his work and his situations now that have been put on the back burner as he's in the hospital, he finds himself back restoring a relationship back with God, learning how to pray. And he said, so many of the things that I was praying for in those moments never came to be, but what came to be was even better than what I was asking for. Matt, he said, in the midst of these difficult situations, we find ourselves blessed with the power of prayer, greater than anything in our understanding or vision of what's going on. I want to challenge you to give over to God your worries and concerns, your anxieties, your frustrations, your joys and blessings. Rejoice always. Pray continually and give thanks to the Lord, even in these moments. I know that Joseph was, because as he finds his way into Potiphar's house, it says that God was with him, that Potiphar notices what's going on. But yet, trial and trouble continue to follow Joseph. As the story continues on, Potiphar's wife accuses Joseph of some misconduct, which is so untrue. Joseph finds himself back in prison. And there again, the story is told in Genesis chapter 39, verse 20 and 21. It says, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him in prison. And the prison warden knew that as well. But I want you to notice, if you go back just a little bit, as Joseph is dealing with Potiphar's wife, he gives a claim that gives us an indication of where Joseph's mind was. In Genesis chapter 39, look at verse 9, the latter half, as he is defending himself, as he's protecting his integrity, he gives this. He says, my master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" He understood his sin. He understood his life was in direct relationship to God. It didn't matter what was going on. That wasn't an excuse. That wasn't an opportunity for him to break free from his relationship with God. Joseph, if he ever had an individual who had reason to be angry and frustrated, he's the one. As he's sold off, as he's given an opportunity to work himself out of a difficult situation, as he's thrown back into prison, Joseph finds himself as a man of integrity, but not just integrity, speaking God's word. I want you to invest in integrity. I want us to dive into what it really means to live a life connected to God. Forget the chaos, forget the worries of the world. And I know that's easier said than done. I know that. But God is calling us to have a relationship with him. The storms will come. The waves will crash. The economics may not add up. The situation may not look right. But I promise you, God is at work in your life, in my life, and in this world. And we want to be individuals who are recognizing his power. Integrity is your awareness of who you are, regardless of what anybody else is doing. Integrity is where I am placing myself in a value system that is higher than my own understanding. It is higher than anybody else's understanding. If you look at Psalms chapter 51, verse 3 and 4, David gives a response to his sin of taking Bathsheba, of killing off her husband. And in here, we see something significant about the idea of integrity. "For I know my sins," David writes. He says, "My sins are always before me. Against you and only you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." I don't believe for a moment that David was an individual who did not recognize the slight that he had perpetrated, the sin that he had brought into Bathsheba's world. I don't think for a moment he was unaware of what had happened to her husband as he leaves him alone on the battlefield. I think David was aware that there was a higher principle in life, and so he was bringing that to bear. David was bringing this idea of integrity into his life. And that's the same thing we see with Joseph as we go back into Genesis. As we listen to his plea to do what is right, even though the world seems stacked against him. So often in our world, when things don't go right, we look only to ourselves, we tunnel down into our own strength and ability, and we forget about the opportunity, the power that is in prayer. So often, when we are overcome with difficulties and drama, we think that we have an excuse. We have an opportunity to sideswipe what is right and good. I want to remind us that we want to invest in intentional integrity, to stand up for what is right, to pursue godliness, regardless of what the momentary cost may be. And I want to remind us also, it's so easy for us to look for what is fair, to make sure that we are balancing the scales, that we get our reward or we get our notice, we get what is due us. Paul writes to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, he reminds them of the difficulties in which they may be undergoing, the unfair treatment in which they are living. And he says, "Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord, I will repay." This idea that I need to settle the accounts, this idea that I need to go after what is right for my own life, to make myself known and put myself in a position, that is for God. And so often we take that task on. We put that as a burden for ourselves, that we need to accomplish what we think will bring the scales back to balance. But I want to remind you that we serve a God who doesn't just bring balance. He brings life, and he brings it abundantly. He blesses us beyond. And as we look at the story of Joseph, we see an individual who is never getting the answer to his prayer. God, return me to my homeland. Let me sit at my father's table. God, let me be back with my family. Condemn them, destroy them, maybe even might be some of his prayer requests. But God raises him up to be second in Pharaoh's command.
When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them."
This passage reminds me so much that God's ways are so higher than ours. God's thoughts are so much more than what we do and think and are able to understand. Today, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. I want to invite you into this life practice this week of prayer in the morning and in the evenings throughout your day. Pray continually. Give over those frustrations and anxieties to the Lord. I want us to practice integrity, even though the world may be engaged in throwing mud, and the world is engaged in fighting for their own opinion and their own place. I want us to be individuals who are living a life that we see we are in direct connection with God. We are not going to treat other people ungodly. We are not going to take advantage of a situation because no one else is looking. We are not going to take advantage of somebody else because they have taken advantage of us. We are going to live in a direct relationship with the Lord Almighty. And we are not going to race towards revenge. We are not going to look for our opportunities to bring our own balance. But like Joseph, he hands over grace, he hands over blessing, and he invites those back into his life as God restores that relationship in a way that is far beyond their dreams or imaginations. This week we have great opportunity because we serve a great God. I want to challenge you in the midst of the positive times, the good times, the blessings, and the joyous times. We give honor and glory to God. In the midst of the difficult times, the challenges, the dark times, we speak God's name. We declare that we are still his followers. And God is going to be at work. So much so that even our masters, those that are above us and over us, those that might even take advantage of us, will recognize that God is in control. Today is a great day for us to pronounce our faith, to live that out. To stop living for self, but living for his kingdom. Things that will be destroyed, things that will fade away, things that can be taken away, those will become secondary in our life. Today we are going to live for a higher purpose, a higher value, to be a blessing in this world, to bring salt and light into this world. As we ask our kids so often, are you a brother or are you a bother? Are you going to live in this world as a blessing or a frustration? Are you going to take your own, or are you going to let God bless you with what he has in store for you? It's a different way of life. It is a great way of life. And does not take away the difficult situations. It doesn't mean that we always will end as second in command over this beautiful story, but it does mean that we always will be right in God's family. Right where he intends us to be. And for that, faithful action, God has great reward. Let's go take on this week together.